Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome to the Thanksgiving episode of the Nate Darling Show.
I love the turkeys.
Yeah, we did it special. And by we, I mean me.
Can I say I'm really sad? One of the best things about Thanksgiving, I know I'm jumping, but don't be nervous.
That's okay.
One of the things I'm most excited about Thanksgiving I'm going to miss this year is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
That's right.
And Ingrid Michaelson, who I'm obsessed with right now. Oh, I love her. Is performing.
So you,
do you know her? Look her up.
As you're hearing this show, and this show is going up the day before Thanksgiving, we are actually taping this show on the 8th of November because we wanted to do a special show for the holiday. And Larry, by the time you're hearing this, is going to be in?
I'll be in Spain.
Larry's in Spain.
Hola. Hola, amigo. ¿Cómo está?
Hola. Bien, gracias.
So right now, Larry is in Spain. I am in Sacramento, and Mel is in Ohio.
Ohio.
Right now, I'm in La Abaca, which is in northwest Spain, near the Camino de Real.
So we'll be torn apart.
Our love will be strong.
It will be.
I'm having a listener meet and greet.
at the borders.
In Madrid, at the borders off of Plaza del Sol.
Yes.
On Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
Look for the borders, because
I'll be there outside with my backpack.
They're easy to find. So, yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays because of the food.
It's a fun
if Thanksgiving came with presents, it would be my ultimate favorite.
Sometimes it does. All right, so special Thanksgiving episode. First of all, I want to mention, to get this out of the way, you can hear our show on the Stitcher Smart Radio.
Stitcher
allows you to listen to your favorite shows like The Nate Darling Show directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the App Store's Stitcher Smart Radio. It's the smarter way to listen to radio. And you can also get the link to that on NateDarlingShow.com.
I know I say it every single time you do that, but you do that so well.
Thanks.
He's a professional.
I know. And
he's
I know
like a
he
prostitute
is,
of his
and
voice.
I know I shouldn't have to keep saying it, or I shouldn't keep saying it because it's redundant, but it's fascinating. Not only is it just you do it so well, and watching you do it from where I'm sitting, it looks cool because it's so smooth.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll never get tired of being complimented.
It's like you're a real radio guy, and because you are. I just keep forgetting that you were and are formally professionally trained.
Well, it's been a long time, and I think the last time I did an actual radio show before we started the podcast, Clinton was president.
Wow.
It goes back that far. It's been that long, and I've never...
I love Clinton. He was the best Republican president we've ever had.
And the last radio station that I worked for was WLFE-FM. I think they've changed their call letters, and they were a country station at the time.
Called The Leaf?
WLFE.
WLFE.
I think for a while it was Country Life 102.3, but that was before I was there.
Oh, see, I was close. Leaf Life.
Sure. And I was doing afternoon drives there, and I was living in Plattsburgh, New York, and I would get up in the morning, and I went to work at Channel 5 in Plattsburgh, New York, and I worked on the morning crew there for the news. And then in the afternoon, I would drive around Lake Champlain an hour each way to do a four-hour radio show.
Oh, God.
And the generosity, and this is why I don't work in radio anymore, one of the reasons, the generosity of the owners were like, okay, an afternoon drive is the second most important shift on a radio station. Morning drive is number one, afternoon drive is second, and if you're Rush Limbaugh, middays. But so I'm doing the second most important shift on the station, and I'm getting paid hourly, less than I am to do a crew position at the TV station, and I'm getting paid for just the time that I'm on the air and the time that I'm cutting commercials afterward. So I'm getting paid for 4.5 hours a day.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I'm driving two. I'm driving 2 hours a day and getting paid for the 4.5 that I'm there. So they didn't even want to pay me for the hour each way I was driving.
So you were the 99%. They were the 1%.
sort of in that situation, yeah. But I've worked in country radio. I worked in oldies radio. I worked in top 40 radio. I worked in hot AC radio.
What's hot AC?
Hot AC.
Ass Cruiser Radio.
Okay, you know the stations that everyone can agree on, even the boss?
Adult Contemporary.
That's Adult Contemporary. Hot AC is...
like Bublé.
It's between that and a top 40 station, so it plays a little bit more up-tempo music than the station that everyone can agree on, even the boss. But,
like Journey and Foreigner?
Sort of. Those are oldies bands
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so that's a little old. Sorry. Yeah.
And they were even oldies then.
Like that.
That's okay. Hey, the guy in Journey's nailing the old Michelle Salahi, so hey, whatever.
Weird.
So, yeah, did that. Did college radio at Pilot 94 at Plattsburgh State University.
Pilot 94!
And that...
I like to pretend I do radio.
You know, my dad used to... My dad's really into, like, college radio and alternative radio because he's really into good music and underground music.
Okay.
And he used to go hang out all the time at the radio station that was in Rain Man, that 97X. Bam! The future of rock and roll. Well, that was a real station. And my dad was friends with all those people, and he actually donated, I think, like, most of his vinyl to the radio station.
And so that's awesome. That's actually really good if they still have a record player that works. And WPLT is now, I think, a radio station in Detroit bought the call letters from the college. They're a different call letter now. And my first radio that I ever did, and a shout-out to a couple of the guys that I went to college with, Rob DeFazio, who is still working as a party DJ. He was the music director, I believe, at the college radio station, St. Joseph's College in Standish, Maine. And to Mike Mahoney, who I did a comedy radio show with called Rock Bottom. We played like stand-up.
Rock Bottom?
Rock Bottom. It was terrible. It was college radio. It was awful. We played... like parody records, and we played stand-up clips and little bits that we did.
You were kind of like Dr. Demento.
It was sort of what we were doing. And other than that, I also had, and I forget what the name of it was, but I remember my co-host, Norm Vigent, who I think he was planning to be a lawyer, so he probably is. He's one of the 1% or something. And we did a heavy metal show on Friday nights, and we got the primo slot 9 to midnight on Friday nights. And we were getting, and we, you know, this was a great thing. We were getting the most requests of anybody at the station. So we were getting like 50 requests an hour. It was,
whoa.
I know, it was impressive.
Headbangers ball.
Wow.
Sort of that kind of an idea. But if I go back and pull old air checks, and I've done that, but they're all on cassette, so it's really hard. And I don't have a cassette player anymore, thank God. They're all quite bad. And the further back you go, the worse they get. So that's... That's kind of where we are with that.
I have to tell a confession about college radio.
Okay.
So do you know how, like, in college, you're, like, one of the first days of the beginning of every year, they have, like, one of those, like, up the organization's day festival things where you sign up? So my friends and I used to be very somewhat naughty. We like to do all these weird things. And one of the things we would do, we'd call, because where I went to school, you would know all the freshman rooms because, like, all the numbers were sort of in order. So you always knew what freshman room numbers were. So we would call people up. We did like 30 at a time. It's ridiculous. We would get a little drunk and then would call before we went out and be like, hi. And they're like, they would answer. And we had a phone book so you could see their names. And so we'd be like, hey, Sarah, this is Kevin calling from Flyer Radio. We just want to let you know, congratulations. You've won a free CD from Up the Organization's Fair. All you need to do is stop by the radio station anytime and you'll get a free CD.
That is so mean.
So we did that all the time to people, like, ridiculously. And then, so this is what's funny. We thought it was really funny. We're like, yeah, people probably show up and whatever. So then one of our friends who actually worked at Flyer Radio said, yeah, these people keep coming and getting free CDs. And they're like, it's crazy. The weird thing is they always have tons of free CDs to give out. It's like, it's awesome because we're giving them all away. So they thought it was awesome.
So your
awesome.
Naughtiness was actually like a good deed.
Yeah, we did lots. We had another game called Scary Game, which is where you had to sit in a public setting. And my friend Megan and I played it all the time. And you each had to try to do the other person by saying something very shocking out loud just to see people's reaction. Like, we would sit in the lobby.
Last goddamn time, I want somebody to use his fucking brain.
It's like
that was the winner.
No, it was better. Like, we'd sit in the lobby and as people
abortion
would,
placenta.
No, it had to be like in relation to yourself. It couldn't just be random. So she would say like
my itchy gonorrhea.
Yeah, but even that, it had to be a little more real. I think one of the best ones was someone was checking their mail and she's like, you know, I went to the abortion clinic again and after the seventh one, your eighth one's free. So I feel like I'm at seven, so I have a free one. I think I'm gonna get knocked up. Like we and etc. Like we would do very scary things.
All right,
like
Turkey
that.
Boy.
I know he's out of control.
There.
It's the Thanksgiving show.
Out of control. And so
it's
I also love a scary game. So if you're listening to our podcast, come to Nate's apartment. You've won a free CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck finding that. You've won a free CD as though I have CDs anymore.
They do. I'm floored. Some of my friends still like to buy actual CDs because they really like reading the like paper.
I just
parts.
Recently bought a CD.
I can't remember the last time I actually bought a CD.
I got one at a yard sale. I got one at Keith Lowell Jensen's yard sale, and it wasn't even his. It was his neighbor's. So yeah. I now have Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits.
Nice.
And the first thing I did with it was ripped it to my computer so I don't have to deal with the CD anymore. So, hey, if you do show up, you're getting the Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits. That is what you are getting.
Okay, hey, let's talk Thanksgiving.
Yes, let's talk Thanksgiving.
Delicious, delicious Thanksgiving.
Let's start with your favorite Thanksgiving food. Mel, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Okay, so I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a little bit lot white trash, and I really like all the like I love stovetop out of the box so much.
That's not white white trash would be it's not white trash.
Okay, good, because I love stovetop stuffing. I love mashed potatoes, and they don't even have to be real. I don't care. I'm not that picky. And I even like, you know what I never had growing up, but what I've had as an adult, because my parents said it was goyish and we couldn't eat it, was that green bean casserole with the onion stuff on top.
That was,
it's goyish. Jews don't eat that. So I had it as an adult. I love that.
People love that shit.
Oh, man.
I don't, but
I love pretty much everything except for the turkey. I eat the turkey because it's obligatory and it's there. But I just love, and I love crescent rolls. Mm. Oh, crescent rolls. Delicious, delicious, warm.
They're so good. I have such issues when people call them crescent rolls.
What are you supposed to call them?
I mean, that's what they're called, but they're like fake croissants.
Larry has a big issue when you call things what they are.
I'm a little bit snotty when it comes to weird things. What are they? They're
crescent-shaped rolls.
Right, that's crescent rolls.
Which is not a croissant, which is totally different dough and everything.
Yeah, it's very different.
The idea is to be a croissant.
No.
I think you're ruining Thanksgiving.
I'm sorry. Do you know what my favorite thing to do with crescent rolls, though, is? Oh, my God.
Wrap them around a wiener.
And put you wrap around a wiener. You put a slit in it, put some cheese, and bake them. Oh, my MFFNG.
It's delicious.
Little pigs in the blanket.
And I like gravy over all of it. I just want to slather everything with gravy. The only thing I don't like is the cranberry stuff.
Mm.
My dad does. And my dad likes the kind that comes out of the jar that has the little ribbings on the sides from the can.
Oh, that's... I don't like... I've been to Thanksgiving before where they have authentic cranberries and I get a little sad. I want it out of the can sliced.
Yeah.
To me, that is so
tasty. My dad loves that.
As a special health warning, I need to let everyone know, as a narcoleptic, I have to be very careful about the turkey I eat.
Tryptophan.
Because tryptophan impacts me more than other people. And so I can't eat that
sense.
And red pepper and apples. I like turkey. It's just so dry. I love cranberry sauce. Cut. Oh, my God. The thought of it makes me horny.
And I have a weird thing. Like, for Thanksgiving, for some reason, I have a real issue with needing to have the green beans with the slivered toasted almonds. That says Thanksgiving to me, because for some reason we had it as kids.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I loved is when I found out that a lot of black families have macaroni and cheese, because, like, if they have more soul food. And I remember being floored and excited. I was like, I wish I was black. We'd have macaroni and cheese.
I know at our Thanksgiving this year, my sister-in-law's family usually has some Asian things, so I think there will be chicken feet. That is kind of traditional.
Why don't you just do turkey?
Are they going to have algebra problems? That's kind of Asian.
It is.
I'm going to tell her to not listen today.
Oh, well, we're past that already. Yeah, growing up for me, I mean, Thanksgiving wasn't really a huge deal at my house.
What?
It wasn't. We were traitors. We were more Christmas people. And my mom...
Yeah, we weren't so much Christmas people.
Right, of course. my mom doesn't like birds. Doesn't eat birds.
Oh, I mean, like,
she doesn't eat chicken?
She doesn't like...
No chicken,
like,
no turkey.
She hates Big Bird, and she hates Donald Duck. Like, I hate birds.
So when we had Thanksgiving at our house, my mom would make like a roast pork, or maybe like a nice ham or something like that.
Sure.
So another holiday meat. But and mashed potatoes. And the other thing would be, my mom would always we'd go out and pick berries, like in the summertime, like raspberries, blackberries, and make berry pies. And berry pies would probably be my favorite. I know it's an odd Thanksgiving thing, but for me, that's a kind of a cool Thanksgiving food.
I'm on board
food
with
memory.
That. I can get behind that. Because I don't like pumpkin pie. I love berry pie.
Yeah, berry pie is the best.
Oh,
I'm not a pumpkin guy. I'm sure, Larry, you're a pumpkin guy, right?
Sometimes. I didn't like pumpkin pie about a year ago before I thought it was gross.
The funny thing is I love sweet potato pie, which is almost exactly the same.
What I was just about to say is when other people... Thanksgiving, when I was little, we'd always go to Washington, D.C. every year for Thanksgiving because one of my mom's sisters lived there. And then some of our family from New York would come. And it would be... When you grew up in a really big family, you just... The things you do, you don't realize how they might be odd from other people. So... They would have everyone over. There'd be families from New York come, and then we would come. And I'm not exaggerating. There'd be like 45 people in their house. And like, I mean, it was a big house, and there was definitely room and stuff. But like, you think that's very normal? One of my sister's friends came over. Like, all of our cousins, which we were all really well, not all, just like the younger-ish cousins, would sleep in their like this big open basement thing, and there'd be like 15 of us down there.
Wow.
And it was just all very normal because when you're a kid, it was just fun and there's always people. It's also when all of our family celebrated Christmas together. So Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving, but it's also where we had a gift exchange and it was awesome. But when everyone else ate pie, because I'm not a big fruit pie person. I know that's a lot of joke right there, but I didn't really like fruit pies at the time. So
you like man pies.
I do like man pies. My Aunt Rosie would let me just get a bowl of marshmallows that they use for the sweet potatoes because that's all I wanted. Because wow. I loved marshmallows.
You were easy to please.
Yeah, and I loved when they would someone get like egg custard pie or like chocolate cream pie because they didn't like apple pie. I thought pumpkin pie was gross. Now I like it.
But. Yeah, I love pie. But I love this. Sweet my dad pie. Does that sweet potato casserole with the marshmallows. Oh my God, I love that.
Excellent.
It's so good. Yeah. I love Thanksgiving food. It's all my favorite things at once. My brother and I, it's funny because unlike exactly the opposite of Larry, I come from a really tiny family. We were just four of us and we had no relatives really around. We didn't ever have anybody else. It was just us.
Oh, wow.
So four people, and yet my mom, you know, awesome woman, would make every side dish. So you get stuffing and you get mashed potatoes and you get sweet potato casserole and you get the green beans and you get the crescent rolls and you get the turkey and you get the, because she didn't want to deprive us. She didn't want to make like a meal that was reasonable for four people. So she'd make a meal that was reasonable for like 12. So we would be able to have everything.
And my brother and I still
do that. Yeah. My brother and I still do that. Like I went to his house a couple years ago and it was like five of us, maybe four of us. And he still made every single one of the dishes from our childhood.
Wow. That's really nice.
Yeah.
Do you know I became angry once watching a TV show? Do you know who I actually like? Gia Godard. What's her name?
Giada.
Yeah, Giada, whatever her name is. Which, on a very random side note, if you... I'm very picky about pasta sauce because I don't like lots of stuff in it. She's a creamy tomato sauce that you can get at Target. It's her special line. Oh, my God. It's so good. Everyone I tell comes back like, that's the best thing I've ever had. So go and try it. I became really angry when she talked about a Thanksgiving she had with her and her husband. I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun. She was like, I want to do something different. So
I hate people who do something different. For the record, before you even say it, people who do something different should go fuck themselves.
She made pumpkin turkey ravioli. That's sacrilege.
Paul's sister, I love your brother, but if you're listening, your Thanksgivings are my worst nightmare for this reason. You always try to do something interesting and clever and weird, and I don't want interesting, clever, or weird. One year, you did roasted squash with some sort of weird salsa marmalade thing on it. We don't want that. We want traditional food, just for the record. Don't do that ever again.
And if you're going to try something different, because I love to try different stuff, you have the regular traditional stuff, and then you have other things you can try to see if you like it.
I don't want weird stuff. Exactly. I want traditional Thanksgiving food. Don't fuck with my dinner.
No. I'm going to go a little bit my ex-wife she was very big on Thanksgiving. Her family was very big on Thanksgiving meals.
Which one?
I know,
way.
I was going to say
which
that.
X2.
Mary.
X2.
Am I allowed to say her name?
You can say what you want.
Okay. I don't know the rules. I'm very bad when it comes to rules.
It doesn't matter. But one of the things that her dad did, because her dad would make Thanksgiving dinner, and this was the first time I'd ever seen it, and it's kind of a really cool tip. And no matter how a relationship ends, you can usually find a few, you know, good things from it. And as you get further away, you look back and you go, okay, that was kind of cool. And this is going to seem kind of superfluous in that realm, but her dad would be the one who made the Thanksgiving bird. And the thing that her dad did differently, he cooked it upside down.
Huh.
And cooking it upside down, it does make sense, because normally what you do is you cook the bird and it comes out a golden brown and it looks great. And all of the juices from the meat
go to the bottom,
drain down to the bottom.
Makes sense.
You cook it upside down.
Yep.
It doesn't look as pretty. You don't get that golden brown picture of a bird, but it is some of the juiciest turkey that you will ever have.
Smart tip.
So if you want to try something, if you want to be different for Thanksgiving this year, cook your turkey upside down.
Now, I did have deep fried bird at Paul's sister a couple years ago, and that was delicious.
It's so good.
Yeah, here's a tip on that one, and I know this from YouTube clips. Don't drop a frozen turkey into hot boiling.
Bad idea.
Because it'll explode on you.
Do you know what's awkward? I'm sorry to talk about this again, but you mentioned it, your ex-wife.
Yeah.
When I think of Halloween, I always think of her because like, a couple years ago, I was at your apartment, and she had the world's best candy corn. I'm not joking. It was so good. We were there with our friend EJ. We ate the entire thing, and she came. She's like, "What happened to my candy corn?" We're like, "It's so good."
Yeah, it was. It was when we were doing. We were rehearsing Nefarious. Right.
Oh my god. Our old improv. So good. Oh my god. Even thinking about it now makes me a little.
Do you want to know the secret?
What?
It's a Target.
So good, but there was something different about it.
It had a cinnamon to it.
It was so good.
Or brown sugar.
EJ and I literally ate the whole bowl.
Yeah, it was. It's actually kind of disgusting when you think about it. But yes, they did. So yeah,
I love things.
Now she was very big around the holidays, and you know, for the time that we were together, we had a lot of holidays where, you know, after we moved out to California, you know, she made big holiday stuff. So, you know, that's one of those things I can look back on and appreciate. You know, one of those things. You know, it's holiday memories, and I'm not going to just go, even though the relationship is over and no matter how it ended, I'm not going to just completely throw away, you know, a bunch of memories that were actually good at the time, because that seems kind of dickish to do.
I love the holiday. Do you know part of the reason I'm going to Spain? Do you know part of the reason I'm in Spain right now?
Because
you're listening to
because
me?
You hate America?
Because Europe does Christmas awesome. Because, okay, I'm all for inclusion, but to me, inclusion means you recognize everybody. You say, like, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, you know, you celebrate Ramadan when you're done. You do whatever. But inclusion doesn't mean that you water everything down so it means nothing. And Happy Holidays is a fine expression, and you can use it as one. But I love how, like, and it's funny because, like, it's a different European mindset, but, like, because they're traditionally Christian countries, everything is Christmas, like, to the billionth degree. It's ridiculous. Like, there's displays everywhere. Like, it feels, and Madrid at Christmas is one of the most amazing places ever. They have all these outdoor markets, and people wear Christmas hats and whatever. So I'm part of the reason I'm excited. But I had a point to telling this story.
I
like that now. Like, I like what I like to see at stores, and I saw this at Target, is that, like, I like being able to see signs that's like Merry Christmas, and then seeing other big signs that's like Happy Hanukkah. Like,
somebody actually posted a picture on Facebook today for me that was like, look, you get a whole half of an aisle this year. It was like the Hanukkah display.
Where was I? There was a huge at the Target on Riverside by my house, on by the Midtown Target. They had a whole aisle of Hanukkah things.
I love that.
I was
and by the way,
Jews.
Thanks for posting that, Mignon, because I never, you know, my friend Mignon listens every week. She's diehard. She always gives feedback. She's such a great fan.
Why do you get
fan.
To claim her? Can't we say our friend Mignon?
She is our friend. She's everybody's friend. Everybody loves the Migs.
I like to say her
but
Mignon.
But we never say her name. I always say my friend. So I'm saying it right now. Mignon, I love you.
Mignon, I got your name tattooed on my leg. I just beat Mel. I'm your number one fan.
Wow.
I enjoy your filet. Filet mignon.
Filet mignon. Aww. I believe
I bet
that
she's
has
never
something
heard
to do
that.
With her.
I'm sure that's the first
and
time.
And she's
ever.
Kind of a babe, so she also gets credit for that, for her hotness.
Do you guys like the Thanksgiving Day parade? To me, that's like quintessential Thanksgiving. It's the start of Christmas.
I don't watch the parade, but I usually watch football. Football and Thanksgiving to me is really important.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm a little stressed out about that this year, by the way.
And they've added a game, too. So in the past few years, there's now a Thursday night game.
Yeah. I don't like pro football that much, so for me it's all about the parade.
To answer your parade question, the only parade that I watch, being a straight man, is the, and this is going to sound weird, but I watch one parade a year. It is the Tournament of Roses parade on New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I was a kid growing up in the hinterland of Vermont, when it's ass cold and snow past your balls, there is nothing better on New Year's Day than turning on the TV and seeing beautiful sunny Pasadena. And so that's sort of a holiday thing that's carried over for me.
I never watch parades.
So can I make a confession?
Please.
Sure.
So I booked my flight home to go home for Christmas, and originally I was going to try to be in LA for New Year's because a friend of mine who I met through, well, he's not really a friend. Well, someone I know through work does stuff with the parade. And I told him when I was visiting him for work that one of my dreams is to be in the parade. He's like, I can get you on a float. Do you want to come? But I couldn't do it because flights home for Christmas were so expensive.
Oh.
So I was like, can I do it next year? I would die. Do you know how excited it would be to ride on a real rose float in the Rose Parade and be like, hi, happy new year.
That's pretty exciting.
Hi,
not going to lie.
Hi. Right. I love parade.
Before anybody feels really bad for Larry not being able to afford to do that because flights home were so expensive, let's not forget that he's spending 3 weeks in Spain.
No, I know. Okay, so I know. My flight home for Christmas, I'm not exaggerating. I could fly to Japan for as much because of work stuff. I can't leave when you can get cheap flights. So sure. I'm leaving the 23rd and coming back the 1st. No, the 2nd. I'm coming back the 2nd. Yes. I'm literally traveling on like the 2 worst. But like I get to spend a lot of time at home, so I'm happy about it. But I'm like, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Flights are out of control for Christmas.
It's
or Hanukkah.
Or Hanukkah.
Or Thank Ramadan. You. Although Ramadan already happened.
Kwanzaa.
Did Ramadan?
No, I don't celebrate Kwanzaa. I don't like make believe holidays.
I don't know anybody who celebrates Kwanzaa. We'll have to ask Kareem when he comes in.
Do you know who celebrates Kwanzaa? People with lots of white guilt.
Well,
it was invented in the 70s.
Okay, well, next week Kareem Daniels is coming back. He's gonna sit in for Larry, who's still away. So next week we have to remember to ask Kareem if he celebrates
Kwanzaa.
Kiss my black ass.
That may be the response. We don't know. We're going to ask for more.
Can we have a special Kwanzaa episode?
I don't think so.
It would be like a 3-minute show.
Yes.
I know Kwanzaa. Like, I know that, like, the values of it are actually really cool. I just think it's. And then the whole purpose of Kwanzaa was to be not a commercial holiday. So when I see, like, Hallmark has Kwanzaa cars, I get kind of angry.
All I know is I always think of there's a cornucopia associated with Kwanzaa, and I don't know why.
Let's not forget it's Thanksgiving show.
How do you feel about tofurkey?
I like tofurkey.
It's tasty. I don't see a point to it.
I like when they make it mold it into the shape of a turkey. It makes me.
When I was
hot.
A kid, my mom used to do tuna fish in the shape of a fish, and I always thought that was cool. Because Jews love tuna fish.
Oh, that's sort of like reanimating,
Jews.
Isn't it?
I know.
It's like a step away from a horror movie.
Hold on. Thanksgiving's probably a good holiday because it's pretty kosher. It can be. Compared to other food?
Well, I mean, things like, then you can't do mashed potatoes.
Unless you use non-dairy.
Right, unless you don't use, you know, dairy milk or whatever, butter. But yeah. It's mostly a fleischich meat kind of a meal.
Were you kosher? You were kosher growing up, weren't
you? Oh, yes. Mm.
Very kosher.
Very kosher.
Mm.
Now, you were mentioning traveling. We have some listener mail some questions that we hadn't gotten to before.
I didn't check that. Can I make a plug for what you sent?
Yeah.
So Nate sent this email about Workflowy. It's like this to-do list. It's amazing. I'm using it for work now.
That's what I use for show prep, too.
Go to Workflowy, WorkFlowy.com. And it's just really cool. It sounds kind of lame, because it's like, but then you use it, and it makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's like having a computerized outline, and then you can share it with people. That's how I prepare the show, like what we're going to talk about, and then I send it out to Larry and Mel. When they go to the website, boom, it's right there. So
it's
they can
like
see
we just
everything.
Moved the curtain back, and everybody saw the great and powerful Oz.
I know, it's crazy.
We do actually prepare for this. I know it doesn't sound like it.
sometimes it doesn't. We do get off track. That's why I have the turkey.
When Bukkake comes up, that wasn't on the to-do list.
It was not. Now, in the wake of the JetBlue nightmare in Hartford, which happened about a month ago now, the question is, what was your worst flight experience? Now, Larry, you're the most experienced flyer, and you were a Dayton flyer.
I was. I still am.
What was your worst flight experience?
Oh, my God. I've had a couple bad, bad ones. I've actually been lucky. I haven't had two better ones. One recent one that I had is I was going to D.C., what's over? So I was going to D.C. for an interview, and the people who, like, the assistant who was booking all my travel didn't really get how complicated cross-country travel can be and thought I could land at first of all, she was floored. I couldn't just get on a plane at, like, 8 in the morning and get to D.C. at 1. The time thing she didn't get. But then, so I was leaving. My flight left at 6:50 in the morning. I was going to land at National I think at 4:25, and she thought I could be in their office at 5:15. And I try, you know, you can only try so many times to explain, and she wasn't getting it. I was like, okay, well then, I have no other options. I can just make it work. So we circled D.C. because, of course, there was problems. We landed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania because the National shut down. So to call the people I interviewed with, I ended up interviewing the next morning, and it wasn't that big of a deal. But like, it was just recently, it was really annoying. I don't think people who don't fly cross country recognize you can't just fly cross country, walk off a plane, and go do something, because inevitably, especially when you have at least one connection.
Yeah. It's not like if you're like here in SAC, people will fly down to LA all the time, and it's like you're on and off the plane in an hour. And that happens on the East Coast, too, but there's a lot more weather issues on the East Coast, so sometimes you get that sort of caught up. But, yeah, when you're flying cross-country, you've got time changes, you've got plane changes, you've got connections to be made, and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, there's that. Now, Mel, what about you? What's your worst flying experience?
A couple actually come to mind. A couple years ago when I went home, I got stuck in an airport because of snow. You know, they shut down the airport, and they said because that's an act of God, they provide no support or assistance. So planes and planes full of people were just stuck in the airport with nothing. And so we like ransacked the place for pillows and blankets. It was literally like being on Survivor, because I found like a couple people and we all like hooked up together. And so everybody would guard each other's stuff, and somebody could go to the bathroom and somebody had toothpaste so you could brush your teeth. And you know, we slept in shifts so people wouldn't take our stuff, and we slept with our shoes on. It was very weird.
Oh my God. It was like an Occupy protest.
It was horrible. And so the funny thing too was my brother who, you know, my brother, the doctor.
He's so Jewish.
He's like, you know, whatever it's called. He's like the ultra, uber, platinum, multi, blah, blah, flyer person. So he called and screamed and yelled that he was a frequent flyer, platinum card, blah, blah, and how dare they treat his sister like this. So they issued a free plane ticket after he screamed at the people, because my brother's one of those people that gets that kind of stuff. And he got it, and I never saw it. So I slept in the airport, and my brother got a free plane ride.
Oh, that's...
I also, when I was flying back from the Czech Republic, I ended up in a seat between two large, heavy smoker Greek men that were oozing cigarette smoke and nicotine the whole way. So I was crushed in between them and gagging. I literally had my shirt over my mouth and was like gaggy the whole flight home. It was horrible.
When I flew to India, there was still a smoking section on Air India, and I was put on it and I freaked out. I was like, there's no way this is going to work. I love the idea that they're playing just a smoking section. You're in an enclosed tube, people.
Right? And these guys were just, like, oozing. Like, they clearly had, like, the yellow fingernails and the yellow hands. They were clearly, like, just chain smokers. And it was just seeping out of their pores, that and a booze smell.
Yeah, I don't have anything quite that. Well, I've got two that come to mind. Now, one is actually sort of the airline sort of thing. And that was, it was a flying back east thing. And it was trying to find reasonably priced airfare, which is
impossible and harder now.
And this was a two stopper, Sacramento to Atlanta to Detroit to Albany, New York.
That sounds like my trip that already happened since it's Thanksgiving to get to Ohio.
Yeah, so that was the thing. And as we start to get to Atlanta has thunderstorms constantly.
Yeah.
Do not hub through Atlanta if you can help it. But so there's thunderstorms, so they put us, there's a delay. So we started circling the airport, and we're up there, I think like 45 minutes to an hour, where we were circling around. Finally we landed late, and then it was like, okay, well, our connection to Detroit, are we going to make that connection? Did they delay the connection? And it was just this huge nightmare. And it ended up being, it wasn't as bad as a lot of things. Like, I didn't, you know, no one ended up sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
Although there was a chance of that. But it ended up finally getting through. It just ended up being like 3 hours longer than it should have been.
So stressful.
Yeah. And when you got another connection to make, it's just, you start, even though you know deep down it's going to be fine, that is a real problem. Because you hear horror stories and you have friends who go through stuff like you did, and you're like, oh God, is that going to happen to me? But my worst flying experience has had nothing to do with an airline or anything. I actually came out, it was when I came out to Sacramento on my job interview.
I thought you were going
to
say came out of the closet.
No. Good for you.
I was like, wow. Oh.
I have no closet to come out of. I love the ladies. That sounded awful.
Yeah, so you're such a player.
I am a player. So I'm flying out, and they flew me out the day after the Bears lost the Super Bowl. And they flew me through Chicago. And we get to Chicago, and everything's fine, but it's cold. It's like 10 degrees below zero, and the wind is blowing, and it's snowing. and the Bears had lost the Super Bowl the night before, so everybody had gotten really drunk and was angry and surly. And so I get to the next gate where my flight's supposed to be, and there's another plane already there, but it's the flight that hasn't taken off yet. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? So finally that plane leaves after our plane was supposed to leave, and they pull another plane up, and they start to board us, and we get on, and we sit down. And after about a half hour on the plane, the pilot announces to us, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a problem because there's one fuel company that provides fuel for the entire airport, and 80% of their crew members called out today.
Bear flu?
Yeah, bear hungover flu. So ended
that
up
sucked for you, huh?
Yeah, so we sat on the plane for a while, ended up getting to Sacramento like a couple hours late, not the end of the world. But apparently somewhere along the line, I picked up a bug, and I landed in Sacramento one day. I was here a full day, and then flew out the third day's morning. So, like, in on a Monday, left Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. And after I went out to dinner with my future boss, dropped me back at the hotel, and after a couple hours, I started to not feel very well. You know, the not feel very well.
Which
where
sucks when you're in a strange town.
Where sitting on the toilet with the trash can between your knees.
And sweating just a little.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Spent a little time in the shower trying to cool off and feel better, and I'm at the Hyatt downtown, and I have no idea where anything is, and I know that there's nothing around the hotel that's open. That I know. And there's supposed to be a car to pick me up and bring me to the airport for, like, a 7 a.m. flight. Well, at 6 a.m., there's no car. I have no number of anybody to call. I end up getting on the blue van, which brings me out to the airport. And I make it through security, and I go up to one of the stores, and I load up on everything that will settle your stomach and keep you from pooing. So I've loaded up on Alka-Seltzer and Tums
and butt plugs
and Imodium. No, I think butt plugs are something different, Mel.
Hey, you said things to keep you from pooping.
I don't know what that would do. But so, like, Imodium and everything else, and I've got a Coke because I feel like crap, and Coke makes me feel better.
I was going to say, is Coke an elixir of some sort?
It is for me.
It's magic.
And I feel like death. And my flight, just for cross country, my flight is going from Sacramento to Dulles, and then I connect in Dulles to go to Burlington, Vermont. So I am in a plane going from Sacramento to Dulles, which is the longest flight in the universe.
And it's on an old, ugly plane on United. I've been on that flight a couple times.
Exactly.
So good.
No, you do indeed know the plane. It's one of those that still has the tube TVs hanging over the aisle.
And they don't go up.
No. No, if you're tall, you hit your head on those.
It's that, like, remember how computers used to be that, like, ugly yellowish beige color?
That's them.
The interior of the plane is like that.
Yes, the
United,
whole thing.
I've actually emailed United twice about how unacceptable that plane is because they use the oldest aircraft possible, and it's ridiculous. I'm not angry about it.
No, it's true. So anyway, I get to D.C., and I'm thinking, oh, my God, because I've never had food poisoning before. I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have food poisoning or something. I get to D.C., and it's still pretty early in the day for Sacramento time. But I call the guy I interviewed with because we had the same thing. We ate here in Sacramento. I won't say where. But we ate at a nice restaurant in Sacramento, and I've been back, and they're fine. And I said, how are you feeling today? And he goes, I feel great. How are you? And I said, I feel like I should have died somewhere over Kansas. And he goes, what's wrong? And I told him, I said, maybe I have food poisoning. He goes, sounds like you picked up a bug on the plane. So That was my worst flight experience.
I really don't remember it. Luckily, I have a high pain tolerance. When I was little, I had really bad ear problems. I had surgery in my ears and all kinds of stuff. Flying home from New York, I knew my ears felt weird. And I turned over to my mom and I was like first grade, I think, at this point. I looked over and I was like, I don't feel really well. Both my eardrums burst, and I had blood coming out of both my ears.
That's not normal.
No, I'd really, like...
It's like a horror movie.
To this day, whenever I go to the doctor and they look in my ears, I'm not exaggerating, this is what happens. Wow, you had a lot of ear infections. I'm like,
you're all scar tissue.
I have scar, and like, A friend of mine at Maryland was getting her AUD, which is like a PhD in audiology. When I was telling her this, she was like, I can't tell you how much I want to just look in your ears right now. She was like, it's like a craving.
You just don't hear that every day.
I know. And so I was like, you can't. So she's like, hold on. She ran back to her apartment to get her thing. And then she was like, you really did. Wow. It was bad. And I don't really remember. I remember when we landed, people were freaking out. And I was just like, hey, because when you have ear infections that much, you learn to. Your pain tolerance is a lot different because when you're a kid, you can't express it. So you just learn how to deal with it. And I still remember to this day, my mom looking like panicked. And I still don't remember. Like, it's all a little fuzzy because it's kind of little, but.
Of my other favorite flying stories was my friend, dear friend, Sue Wilson, who is one of those people that's good at everything, smart, funny people that you just wish you were more like. And we were going on a cruise together and we did not time it well. So we get to the airport and she goes to park the car and bring the shuttle back. And I'm waiting with all the luggage. So I couldn't even go in if I wanted to because I've got way too many bags. I'm standing there and I'm looking at my clock. I'm going, oh, crap, we're fucked. And so finally she comes back. She's like, we need to hurry. And we go up to the gate and the guy looks at us and goes, I'm sorry, ladies, you're not going to make the gate on this one, but I can get you out first thing in the morning. And I literally dive over the counter and go, we need to be in Vancouver. We have to get on a boat, and the boat leaves today. Leaving tomorrow is unacceptable. Get me on the freaking plane. And he's like, well, I can try. You know, I'll tell them you're coming up, but if the door's closed, the door's closed. You'd have to run, and I don't think you're going to make it. And I grabbed my stuff, and I looked at Sue, who's a short-legged woman. And I said, she has stubs. She's a short lady, and she has very short legs. And I said, I will meet you at the gate. And she's like, run. And I just take off at a dead run, and I'm screaming, please get out of my way, please get out of my way, please get out of my way. And everybody, like, the seas part. And I go running, and of course, it's the furthest away gate, and I'm dead sprinting. I get to the gate, and the lady's like, you're the last one, let's go. And I was like, my friend's coming, and she's like, sorry. And I take all of my stuff in my hands, all my tickets and my boarding pass and everything, and I just throw it in a heap on the floor. And she was like, really? I'm like, what am I supposed to do? My friend's coming. She's like, fine. And so I start picking it up one piece of paper at a time. And here comes little Sue just trudging through the airport. And we got on the plane. But for the first 20 minutes of the plane, I'm just sweating like a mother. I'm just dripping and uncomfortable and sweating. And then because we fucked them up, their flight got in late. So then we had to run to catch our connection. Oh, my God. Because there was like a connection like Portland or somewhere.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you guys better get off first and run. And we had to do it again. So by the time we got to the cruise ship, we were stinky, sweaty, and exhausted.
I hate that feeling.
Well, then you fit in with everybody else on a cruise ship.
And then I learned that cruises are horrible and for suckers and tourists and old people.
No, cruises are awesome and
hated
fun.
Hated it. Sheep. It's for sheep.
No. Clearly you don't know how to cruise.
Hated it.
Cruising is the easiest way to travel.
Hated it.
I think you're.
You went on an Alaskan
else.
Cruise.
Yep.
Okay. Mistake number one.
Exactly. Like I would do it if it was like European and I was going to a bunch of different countries, or if I was going on a booze cruise. But I will.
You do that when you're like 60.
It was horrible. I'm
love
an idiot.
We're planning our next one.
Ugh.
The only thing I don't want to do, and although part of me really wants to, although the thought of it scares me, the mega gay cruises that happen now on the huge ships, being on the open water. With 5,200 gay men is like, I'm surprised the ship just doesn't burst into flames from the amount of drama that takes place. I do know that from talking to people who are there, the workers think it's the funnest time. They get trained before about like, you know, it's going to be a different kind of cruise because there's sex everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Which
it's
going to
be like what we talked about last week with the Knights of Columbus Hall.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah. With the Knights of Columbus Hall with the people having the swingers parties.
Well, but that was a swingers party inside for the sake of having a swingers. No one was seeing it. But I suppose if you've signed up for the gay cruise, you should know what you're getting into.
Well, I mean, it's just a lot of drama. It's a lot of like,
bitch slapping.
It makes me nervous.
And glitter.
Is that what Disney's like when they have the gay weekends?
Yeah, except it's unofficial. On the cruise, like they rent it out. It's one of the highest profiting cruises they ever have.
Oh, sure.
Is that the one that Rosie goes on?
No, that's a family. That's the Rosie family cruise. Which, okay, true story. When my friends and I, Mike and Aaron, we went on a cruise. And we, Mike booked our return flights, and we saved $21 by leaving at like 10:30 at night instead of like 11 in the morning. So we're at the San Diego airport. I'm not exaggerating, for like 9 hours. So we're sitting playing Rummy or playing Uno, because what else do you do at an airport?
Yeah.
And this guy next to us, he was talking to us. We all thought he was hitting on us, and we're like, Aaron, no. Because one of the first things he says, like, yeah, we just went on a Rosie family cruise. I'm like, gay, hello. And my friend Mike was kind of tan. He's like, oh, that's a nice tan. And Mike was like, he was into me. He said, said I had a good tan and I looked good. I was like, no, he said you had a nice tan. He talked to me first. So I kind of fought all over him. But cruises are fun because they have like a gay gathering every day, you know, like in the schedule events. It's always fun to go. My mom thought Friends of Dorothy meant it was like fans of Wizard of Oz. So I was like, no, it's like an underground. It's an old gay term, not young gay. Now gay people are like, why wouldn't you just say gay gathering? We're old gays.
And of course, you know who I learned that term from? Greg Saban, because he knows everything.
He's smart.
I know.
All right,
turkey.
All right. So let's
a really good turkey.
Thank you.
Let's crank up the odd here because we are in fact a comedy show.
Yeah.
What is does anybody have a favorite odd Thanksgiving memory? Something that's a little bit offbeat?
Yes.
All right, you get to go first then.
A couple. Last year, my friend Jackie came out. Who I'm in Spain with right now. She came out to Sacramento for Thanksgiving, and we did the turkey trot, which was really fun for the Run for Feed the Hungry. And our friend Paul has Sit to Feed the Hungry, Stop Moving, Stop Hunger, which was brilliant. But we made these big turkey hats. Like, we made hats and decorated them and put cornucopias on them. Anyway, people thought we were fun. But after that, we spent Thanksgiving dinner with a bunch of lesbians. And I kept joking. It's like, just what the settlers wanted. And I kept, like, and this is really funny. I really, really, truly wanted to bring mini tacos over. But I couldn't find them. And now I see them everywhere. But you know, like, those mini taco appetizers?
Yeah.
So it was just, it was an amazingly fun day. It was awesome.
It's funny because it's like a small vagina.
Exactly. That's why it's funny. So
I think like lesbian in Spanish is like tortillera or something, like little taco.
I thought it was lesbiana.
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 Yeah. I will research it.
Yeah, but to this day, like, I just remember always laughing. Like, I haven't had a normal Thanksgiving in a few years because the year before that I was in Spain.
Do you know when I moved here because I didn't know anybody, I used to like Thanksgiving hop. And I would just find people that seemed like they would be good cooks and nice people. And I would get myself invited.
That's totally smart.
I'm like, I don't have any family and I'm hungry. Can I come over?
My favorite odd Thanksgiving holiday would have been a couple of years ago with the ex-wife. And, you know, she invited because she used to having a big family around. And, you know, most of the people we knew had family around, so they weren't going anywhere. So she invited
over. Okay, before you even say it, all I can do is picture our friend Noel at your Thanksgiving dinner.
I didn't know Noel that.
Oh, because that would have been awesome.
God.
And Noel's got his brother here. He's got family around.
It's just funny in my mind.
It's only funny if you know Noel, but I'm really playing this out in my head, and it's funny.
I saw Noel not long ago. He did a nice trim on me.
No comment.
He cuts hair.
No. Oh. Did he still have that weird hair? Okay, for those of you that don't understand, Noel is like 6'3" and maybe weighs 109 pounds.
He's very tall and thin.
And he, last time I saw him, he's kind of baldy-ish a little. I didn't mean that to be mean, but he grew out his bangs. So now he has this, like, imagine a Hasidic Jew, but straight iron the curls.
Who had sex with Chris Angel.
Oh. Yeah, it's really odd. And, like, it's fun. It's definitely odd and different looking, but does he still have those things?
His hair is straight and dark and frames his face nicely.
So he has a male Jennifer Aniston, but only in the front. He's like the mullet version of a Jennifer Aniston.
I didn't really get that deeply into it. We just chatted over the haircut.
You better just get back to your Thanksgiving story.
Seriously. I'm going to top Noel for you. So we invited over one of our friends who had recently broken up with her boyfriend, and she moved out here with him. And her roommate who lived in our complex, who was somebody that I worked with at the time. So I'm like, okay, awesome. Jessica and Tiffany are coming over. And she goes, oh, and Mike is coming over too. And I'm like, oh, you mean ankle monitor Mike?
Shut up.
What?
The guy who lived one apartment,
ankle monitor Mike.
One apartment over and one floor down, ankle monitor Mike, the Japanese wigger.
I can't. That was like 19 times offensive.
Wow, that was awesome.
He is 19 times offensive.
So hold on, what is that? So true story. My friend Anna, she was talking about how she really wants to get a job, but to spare the details, like where she wants to go into, they really want to hire African-American, like men of color primarily. And she's like, I'm a white girl. And I was like, you should, and she wants to. There's things in the Bay she really wants. And so I was like, you should introduce a new concept. Like, people get, like, transgender. It's like, you should say you're transracial. Like, you think that you are a black man, but your skin is white, so how you doesn't match. So The new term for Wigger, by the way, is transracial. I'm sorry, I had to say that.
Anyway, back to Thanksgiving. So I'm like, all right, well, fine. She's like, no, Mike's nice. Because Mike couldn't leave his house because he had the ankle monitor on. So when she would stay hang out on the balcony, Mike would chat up. Because Mike's a guy, and Mike was hitting on my fiance at the time.
Aww.
And he would
good
do
good old ankle monitor.
Sure,
Mike.
Ankle monitor Mike was nice enough to go, hey, do you need any weed? I can get you some weed.
Oh my God.
Because ankle monitor Mike had the hookup for weed.
Shocker.
Because he could leave enough to go just outside of the gate of the complex and pick up his weed from his dude. So anyway, she doesn't bother to tell Tiff and Jessica that ankle monitor Mike is coming over. Until they get there, and they're like, oh, yeah, our neighbor Mike's coming over. And they're like, oh, that's nice. And then you gotta, then you kind of got to warn them because you've got this very different dude coming in who was wearing an ankle monitor.
Oh, my God.
And they were a little horrified because...
understandably.
Because Tiff is a very... Well, she's been in Sacramento for a while now, but... She's a very innocent sort of blonde girl whose family lives in Vermont. I mean, she was born on Long Island, but she grew up in Vermont, like middle of nowhere Vermont. Like, well, that's Vermont. And so they were a little horrified. So Mike shows up, and you know, he's got his hey ladies sort of.
Was he wearing his jaunty sideways baseball cap?
He was not wearing a cap for this.
Wow, he dressed up.
He wore his good T-shirt and his finest baggy jeans. And here was the thing that I remember most, aside from him being suave, as suave can be. He had to leave twice during pre-dinner and dinner because he had to go and do the check-in on his ankle monitor.
Oh, my God.
He had to check in that often. So that was that's my favorite
that is
odd
awesome.
Thing. Yeah, so good luck topping ankle monitor Mike coming
there's no,
over for
there's
Thanksgiving.
There's no topping that.
It can't be.
No, no.
You know, I met my boyfriend at a Thanksgiving dinner, but we were both dating other people at the time.
Oh, nice.
It was really interesting,
I never
though.
Knew how you guys met.
We met, well, technically the first time we ever met was at Thanksgiving at his sister's. And he swears, by the way, that I flirted with him that night, but it's not true.
You're kind of flirty. Ooh. I can yeah. see it.
You know, the thing is,
You're putting it out there.
I am kind of flirty, but here's the thing. He's older than I am, and to me, he's strikingly good-looking. And I just thought he wasn't giving me the time of day, and I thought, why would he give me the time of day? He's older, he's super hot, he's super cool. So I don't feel like I was even bothering, wasting my energy on somebody that I thought I had no chance with. So I don't think I was flirting because I don't think I had a chance in hell.
There is nothing, by the way, Mel, that guys hate more than younger ladies. We hate that.
To be fair, I think men hate herpes more than that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean. I just thought I have no chance with this guy.
And you know what? I think what happened there is because you were like, I got no chance, I'm not even going to try, that elevated your confidence level, whether you realize it or not, because you didn't have that nervousness.
Yes, I wasn't holding back, so I was just being cool with him, I guess.
Exactly, and that's what he picked up on. He got to see the real Mel and...
Because I don't remember flirting, and then we didn't see each other again till, you know, months and months later when Aww. we met again, and we're both single.
Oh, there
and
you
now
go.
He's punching your kitty. What did I say that?
Wow.
Uh-oh.
I've never heard that before.
He's punching your kitty.
I've heard it before,
don't
but not
punch
that
my
often.
Kitty. Be gentle with my kitty.
All you right, don't God. Like someone to punch your kitty?
I don't want my kitty punched.
What do you want them to do? Gently stroke it?
Yeah. Pet my kitty.
Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, my God. Larry's making a horrible punching motion.
Fisting people.
Don't fist my kitty. I almost just said the real word. Yeah,
no.
Whenever I see Rosie the Riveter, all I think about is fisting because it looks like the logo of a fisting club. There you go. Oh, my God. Mel is holding up a picture right now of the We Can Do It Rosie Riveter.
Oh.
And in my mind, I think, like, fisting. I've been to Folsom too many times.
Isn't that funny
that you said Rosie the Riveter and there she is?
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
George Clooney naked. Go.
I'm going to be sad, actually, when this year ends because she's on my date planner and I can't transfer her. I need a new sticker.
I was going to say, we could probably find you another sticker.
Yeah, I need one. It came with my Rosie the Riveter lunchbox.
So I was looking around as I was preparing for the Thanksgiving show. I was looking around for music. And on Spotify, which is awesome.
Spotify is awesome.
I know. And... a little bit earlier, I was playing some of the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving stuff underneath when we were talking about stuff. This is a song I have never heard of. And it's called it's from an artist called the Toilet Bowl Cleaners. The song is Thanksgiving Turkey Farts. So
enjoy. Know the song.
There's no fisting in the song.
Turkey doesn't make people fart per se, so why is there so much gas on Thanksgiving Day? I'll tell ya.
Wow.
Are those turkey queefs?
That's what it sounds like. It's more of a queef than a fart.
Turkey I love turkey queefs.
Doesn't Adam Sandler have a turkey lurkey song?
He does indeed. And
I can't remember. Like, I just remember the turkey lurkey lurk turkey lurkey part.
Goes something like this.
Oh, I'm excited.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Wow, I almost did like a lead in like a real radio person like
you did.
Yeah.
To eat turkey.
I like to eat turkey.
Love to eat turkey. I love you. Love to eat turkey. Cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
I love him so much.
Yeah, well, you go see Jack and Jill for your birthday, did you? Jack and Jill came out on the 11th, 11-11-11, to honor our veterans. Adam Sandler made quite possibly the worst movie ever.
Oh, that's one where he plays his own sister.
He plays his own
I'm
twin sister.
I'm not going to go see that, but I do love Adam Sandler. And I will say also that my brother does an amazing Adam Sandler impersonation.
Oh, well, that's excellent.
They're both Jewish.
Turkey. Love to eat turkey.
All right.
I think it's funny. His Hanukkah song is probably the most well-known Hanukkah song.
Love it.
Probably.
More than, I have a little dreidel, I made it
out of clay.
When it's dry and ready, a dreidel I shall play.
Dreidel,
it has a lovely body with legs all short and thin. And when it gets all tired, it drops and then I win.
All right, we've reached the end of our Thanksgiving show.
Turkey, I know turkey.
We've spent almost an hour almost talking about Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving. More Thanksgiving.
Can we have a special edition of something?
Wait.
Tool Thanksgiving style?
Nate,
well, I didn't prepare anything.
I have got turkey-themed things.
Nate.
Okay, go ahead.
What are you thankful for?
That was the last thing we were going to do.
Look
we're
going
to save that for last. Okay. Larry, you want to do a cooler tool thing?
Yeah, I'm going to name Thanksgiving-themed things, and you have to say if they're cool or tool.
Okay, wait. We have to do the opening.
All right.
Okay. Cool.
Tool.
Whoa.
Okay,
so cool or tool, canned jellied cranberries.
Cool, because my dad loves it and I love my dad.
I'm going to go for cool because it is an iconic shape. And I'm not a cranberry guy. I don't eat cranberries. I'll have cran juice if it's mixed with something else. But I think it's just because of the iconic shape, because nothing should ever take that shape, but it does, and everybody loves it. So.
Amen.
That's acceptable. Okay.
Larry.
Cool.
Of course.
1,000%. Especially, and this is my feeling about sandwiches, so I feel this way about turkey. When you have a dry meat, which is like turkey or roast beef, you need to pair it with something wet. So like turkey and salami or turkey and bacon go well together because it's a good combination. I feel like turkey and cranberry goes well together. Okay, so cool or tool, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Cool. Because everybody likes a parade. I mean, I don't watch them,
especially
but
the
people
gates.
Love it.
You know what? I'm going to go tool, and here's why. And it's just a personal thing.
Tell us. Preach to us.
Because, and this isn't such a big deal now that I live on the West Coast, because everything happens earlier, but when you grow up on the East Coast, all that parade means is there's something delaying my football game from being on TV.
Oh,
and
so
I would so much rather see a football game than a parade. So that's why I'm going to go that way.
See, and I'm a good/bad gay because I love a parade, but I love football. So like it's part of it for me. It's like, yeah, you got to watch a parade and then a football.
Yeah, I never had a conflict.
Okay, final one.
Oh, wait, I want to do one.
Okay.
How about the vegetarian people that do the activist thing where they have everybody go and meet turkeys in person so they won't eat them for Thanksgiving?
Tool.
I think I'm gonna tool. No, I changed my mind. Cool. I think if you eat meat, you have a responsibility to know how it's produced.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll give them cool because I appreciate their activism, but I love eating animal flesh.
Oh, duh, that's all I eat.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Delicious, delicious okay. animal flesh. By the way, on a very side note, I've been watching this show called Monster In-Laws, and yesterday's episode was about a mother and son that loved to eat meat, and the fiancé was a vegetarian, and they would just make big, juicy, greasy burgers with bacon in her house just to fuck with her, and I loved it.
That was the episode from 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
Remember, we're doing this ahead of time.
2 weeks ago, sorry. 2 weeks ago.
Okay, final one.
Yes.
People who think that Thanksgiving should not be celebrated because all it is a holiday celebrating people that killed Native people.
Ooh, a massacre holiday. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Tool because... It's that's not really what it was about, and to try and go back and reassign stuff.
You're not a fan of revisionist history?
I'm not a real fan of revisionist history, no. So that's why I'm going to go that way.
Mm. I'm going Tool just because I hate people that make everything into an issue and a cause and make a big fucking deal out of it. It's eating some turkey with your family and being thankful, so shut the fuck up and eat your dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I might have to say this is the hardest. I know I asked it, but I feel like this is the hardest one I've had so far because here's my thing. I feel like I think some people take things to extreme, but I also think it's really good for people to question things and at least be aware of it. So I'm going to say the lightest Tool I've ever given because I think it's good for people to at least think about it. Now, what I really don't like is people like, hi, the Native Americans were killing each other and tribes were taking over other territories. It wasn't just like... what I really hate is like, and I feel like it's very much an American thing that like American culture is bad and all these other cultures are really great and they don't do anything. Like, really, bitches? Come on. So I'm going to say Tool, but kind of lightly. I appreciate that they are at least have some, they bring some gravity to what could be a very gluttonous thing.
Yeah.
But Tool still.
Yeah. And let's not forget that we are not the worst people in the world. We're actually Americans.
We're pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. If you look around the world and see the things that are going on, even in some of the more civilized European countries where.
Yeah. Go to France and try being a Muslim right now. See what happens to you.
How about.
Oh, wait. You're not allowed to wear a fucking headscarf because French don't consider you French. If you're not white, you're not French. Disgusting.
Yeah.
I have strong feelings. I'm sorry. Yay, turkeys.
You know, if Larry were a black soccer player in Spain right now, because he's in Spain right now, people would throw bananas at him and do the monkey chant because they were doing that to some soccer players.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, football players. So there's plenty of racism. There's plenty of bad things. But for all of the people in the good old U.S. of A., don't forget, your country's pretty damn good. And for our friends and neighbors in Canada, you've got pretty decent neighbors, eh? Your Thanksgiving's a little earlier, and we appreciate that, too. Wish you a happy Thanksgiving back in October. And for our people around the world, we love you. We have listeners all over the world, and that's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up with... Let's pick no more than four things that you're really thankful for.
I can't do this under pressure. I haven't given this any thought.
Well, really?
No, I didn't.
All right, Larry, do you want to go first?
Oh, goodness. Okay. I'm thankful for many things. I am thankful for my family, both like my mom and dad, my sister, but then my big family. I'm thankful for my job because I like it. And even when I get frustrated, I still really like it. And I recognize how lucky I am because it enables me to do things that I like to do. So that's the second one. I am very thankful. And I'm very thankful. I've always had friends and I've always had good friends. But like, I feel lately, like my circle of friends has just gotten more enriched. And so I feel like that's really good. So I'm really thankful for that. And then what else? And finally, I am thankful... Oh, goodness. One more. I am going to say that I am thankful for Coke Zero because it's really good. I mean, seriously, sometimes I'm like, God, Coke Zero is so good. And then I drink Diet Coke. I'm like, that stuff tastes like piss water. So my family, my job, my friends, and Coke Zero.
Excellent.
Okay, I came up with four really quick just now. I just jotted them down.
Okay.
Okay, I got to look at my notes here. So, I'm gonna go the other way from Larry, because everybody knows all the serious stuff that we're thankful for, and we're pretty blessed, us three, I would say, in general. So I'm thankful that I was blessed with a good sense of humor. I'm thankful for the fact that I have enough money and income and no rat kids or pets that I can pretty much do what I want when I want and go wherever I want. I'm thankful that for the most part I'm multi-orgasmic. And I'm thankful for chocolate and dessert.
I love that you threw multi-orgasmic in there.
It's all things I'm thankful for.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's more than fair. Yeah, and I think you're right. Yeah, we're all thankful for our family.
Yeah, and I mean, I am so thankful that I have Paul, and he's such an amazing human being. But you know, I think everybody knows I'm thankful for him. I'm not gonna waste my four things on something that everybody already knows. I mean, I'm basically dating the second coming. He's so freaking perfect.
He comes twice.
Oh man,
Mel does. We learned that
she's multiple orgasmic.
Yay! Come on.
I'm gonna start out by saying I'm thankful for my career and some of the opportunities that have come my way in the past year and are coming my way. In fact, I'll be headed to New York in a couple of weeks to do some stuff at 30 Rockefeller Center with Dr. Oz and Brian Williams. And
can you ask Brian Williams why he never uses any eye color under his eyes?
No,
please.
I've had the opportunity to work with Conan O'Brien before, which was great. And so that's part of the career that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my friends who got me through some very difficult times in the past year, including last Thanksgiving, which was very rough for me. And my friends Hootie and Amy especially really stepped up and helped me get through that. And the people that I've met through the past year who've done the same thing. I'm thankful that I've got my health and that I can do the things that I want to do. And
it's amazing how we take that for granted sometimes, and then when you think about it, you're like, holy shit.
I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I've been a slacker and I haven't really been exercising as much as I should, but then I decided to go to bed early and get up and start exercising again, and I was able to do so. And I mean, that's really a huge thing. And the last thing that I'm going to say, it's my fourth thing, I am so thankful for this show.
Yeah.
And I mean that. And aww. I'm thankful to you guys.
God bless us, everyone.
To Larry, who first agreed to do it when I came up with this crazy harebrained idea, and to Mel for coming on a couple of shows in. And
joining our threesome.
Yeah. I mean, you guys give up a lot of your time to come here and, you know, we do this show for free for everybody.
It's a pleasure. I don't feel like I'm giving up anything. And I love being here.
It's just fantastic to do, and we love doing it, and I love being able to bring comedy and bring smiles to people's faces. And we've got people like
Eric, our super fan in Portland.
We got Eric in Portland, and I got a note on Facebook from Joseph, who lives in I forget where in Texas, but like I think Galveston. Somewhere like that.
Howdy.
He had a podcast question to ask. I mean, here we are. You know, after 19 episodes of our little podcast, I've got Joseph asking me questions that he's asking the same questions of Rob Spiewak, who does the Mike O'Mara show, which was a nationally syndicated radio show, and now they do that as a podcast. I mean, we reach out to people all over the world from this little living room. And when you stop and think about that, that's really, really cool that someone half a world away, and we know that people half a world away, people in Singapore and Korea and Japan and all over Europe and Canada, the U.S. and
Australia.
Mexico, one guy in Australia. We want more.
Yeah.
Are part of this community that people who've listened to our voices and sort of bonded with us and have brought us into their life, made time for us every week to be entertained. I mean, that's a big deal. People are really busy, and to take that time and just to hang out with us is very cool. So I'm thankful to all of you in this room, and I'm thankful to all of you who are hearing the sound of my voice right now.
Hear, hear.
Holla, bitches.
And on that note, we have a lot more stuff planned. We've got a lot of very cool things. I mean, here are some of the things that we've done in the past month, just in the past month, we have opened a merch store, which means, and this was kind of something I wanted to do, and I bought the first t-shirt, and maybe the only t-shirt, I don't care. But I remember when I would really get into something, and the only thing I wanted to do was have a t-shirt or a sticker.
And it's cool because it's unique. You wear one of our shirts, and people are going to be like, what is that?
And you know, something of mine that I wanted. And I remember when I was younger, you couldn't get that stuff. And now it's made very easy. And the company that we go through, Zazzle, has 100% satisfaction guarantee. And I got the t-shirt, and it's great. I love the t-shirt. But if you happen to order it and you don't like it, you send it back and you get your money back. And that was important to do that way. We're on the Stitcher app, so you can listen to us on your phone. That was a big step up for people to be able to get away from their computer if they didn't have an iPod or whatever else like that. Coming up next year, in the next year, we have a lot of things that we would like to do. We've talked about doing the podcast live.
That would be fun.
And I think we will do that. We will do the podcast live. Hey, Zippy. My cat Zippy is here.
You said Zazzle, and Zippy came running.
Yeah, he's confused.
His brain is... He's like, Zazzle, Zippy, what are you saying?
We're going to be doing live podcasts. We are also going to... By live podcast, I mean we're going to actually go out and perform in front of an audience. Hopefully, an audience will
show
up.
Can we do it in front of a hot dog on a stick?
If you find one that'll have us, yes.
I will. I'll make it happen.
You find one that'll have us, and we will do that. We would like to, as we start to get more support and listeners from different places, we would consider going to places like that.
Have us come to your house and we will do it with you on your couch.
Who wouldn't want us at a bar or bat mitzvah?
True.
Right?
True. So we...
I'm just saying.
So we've got that, and
I could probably pull a Torah portion out of my ass still if I had to under pressure.
Me too. No, I'm not Jewish.
And the last thing, and I'm just going to hint at this, we want to make the podcast bigger. We want to make it better. And we're going to be asking for a little bit of help from people, but we're going to put that off until next year. So it's a way for you to sort of be a little bit more involved in the podcast. But we're going to wait until after the holidays when everybody's got their stuff squared away for that.
So start getting your partners knocked up, because we're going to be needing your firstborn in a few months.
So I don't want to spill Nate's secret, but I do want to let everyone know we're starting a cult. And so we are going to be the trifecta leaders. It's going to be a good cult, though. We're going to care for you. We're not going to make you shave your heads unless you're bad, then we'll make you shave your heads. But so be look out on the for our cult. I've always wanted to start a cult. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, but we won't make you kill yourself. That's the best
yet.
Part.
No, our Kool-Aid will be delicious.
It will be.
And there'll be bacon at lots of things.
Bacon.
Ooh, bacon-flavored Kool-Aid?
Bacon.
Do you hear where, like...
That will be our chant.
You know how, like, food gastronomy is, like, really cool, like, mixing food and science right now? There's this whole restaurant...
What did you just call
food
it?
Food gastronomy. I can't say it. What's it called?
That's what I thought.
What's it called?
Gastronomy?
Yeah, gastronomy. There's a restaurant in New York that only serves everything in marshmallow form.
Gross.
And all meal, like, it's... I think it's cool.
Okay. Well, I'm not...
That will be one thing we have in our cult.
Molecular gastronomy.
I'm not going to check that out while I'm there.
There's a place in Midtown that claims to do that, but when I went there, I was really disappointed. And the only thing they did that was kind of cool was they did the fake egg yolk on top of something, but when you broke it, mango juice poured out, so then I couldn't eat the thing anyway because I'm allergic to mangoes.
Does it start with an L?
Yes.
And I know where... We know where it is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really disappointing.
Yeah. There's no molecular gastronomy going on there.
It's a lot of douchebaggery is what's going
There's
on.
There's no Wiley Dufresne-ness to that place.
All right, everybody. So thank you very much for listening to the Thanksgiving show. We look forward to providing much more holiday stuff with you. Larry's going to spend some more time in Spain next week.
Hola, amigo.
Next week, our friend Kareem Daniels will be in. We'll ask embarrassing questions of our black friend.
What up, fool?
Teach us about Kwanzaa.
Kiss my black ass.
It's a good thing you're going to be in Spain, because that's just unacceptable.
I talk like a black man.
But
I'm
in the meantime,
I'm transracial.
Everybody have the best Thanksgiving dinner ever.
Gobble,
and
gobble, gobble,
say
gobble,
a little,
gobble.
Well, you don't even need to say a prayer. The Packers will win.
Say a little prayer for me.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll see you next week. Gobble.
Come on, let's turkey try. Time.
diddle lip, gobble gobble diddle lip.
Hey!